What's up, Snapback fam? Welcome back to another episode of Snapback Sports Pod. On this episode, we have the privilege to interview Ross Stripling, all-star pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, our first MLB baseball player we've ever had on the podcast. Super excited for you guys to listen in. He's a great guy. Super interesting also. Not only a pitcher, but loves the stock market. And also, we did a version of Ranked where we ranked our least favorite fantasy football players. Our list will be all over social media. Let us know your list, but overall, let's get it.
Blue Wire.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh, he broke his ankles.
Oh, blocked by James.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought. Is over.
Bryant put the jumper.
He got it!
Oh my! And the Lakers lead.
Mamba out.
What's going on, Snapback fam? Welcome back to another episode of the Snapback Sports Pod. We're super excited to welcome in Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Ross Stripling, aka the Chicken Strip. Ross, where's that nickname come from? I saw your tweet saying that's when you really know you made it, is when you could wear that on the back of your jersey. And honestly, I tend to agree. Is that an actual nickname that you get called?
You know what, man? That's so funny. First off, thanks for having me, guys. You know, that nickname came about mostly because when you have the last name Stripling, you get called stripper, strip club and dollar bills, strip, all that stuff. And the first year of the Players Weekend, they were trying to keep all those names as PG as they could. You know, a couple of people have now branched out from that, which I think has been good. But, you know, they thought stripper was too PG-13, and that's what I get called the most. And so I had to get creative. Yeah. And some people have called me Chicken Strip, just kind of, you know, funny one time. No one has ever consistently called me that. But, man, that nickname stuck, and I am definitely Chicken Strip now in Los Angeles.
Is that how you, like – like if someone's walking by your locker in the clubhouse, like it's not a game or anything and someone wants to get your attention, like Justin Turner's like, yo, Chicken Strip, you're trying to go get something to eat or something? Is it literally like that, or is it more of just when that weekend rolls around, tossing on the back of the jersey?
No, it's more of from fans. It's more like spring training when I walk outside and we walk through this big group of people as we head to the fields, people just yell, Chicken Strip, Chicken Strip, you know, in the In the locker room, I'm still Strip. Just now, nice and easy. Just Strip.
Now, follow up to that, since you say it's mostly fans, I know when games occur, there's times before the game where you can go over, sign some autographs, interact with the fans. Have you ever been given a Chicken Strip, like to eat before a game by a fan?
Oh, good question. No, I have not. And I don't
know
if
that's kind of messed up.
In all honesty, you know, but no, I've never actually been offered a Chicken Strip. I always get asked what my favorite sauce is. And I'm actually not a sauce guy. I usually just say barbecue. But no one has ever actually tried to physically hand me a Chicken Strip yet.
All right. When baseball resumes and you're out there, Abe and I are going to show up and with a bag of Chicken Strips for you. So
and
you'll
feel
know
free to,
who we
feel,
are.
Feel free to say no, because I'll be more than happy to eat them for you.
Yeah, I'll leave them for you guys. Good luck getting into a stadium with a full bag of Chicken Strips.
You're under
clear bag policy. Clear bag policy. So, Ross, I was listening to your Big Swing podcast. Also, Snapback fam, anyone listening to this, definitely check it out. They've had some very, very cool guests. I listened to CJ McCollum, Mike Evans. I know you have that A&M connection, then a ton of baseball stars. But what I really thought was the coolest part is that it seems like it's just you and your buddy normally for each episode, and that's kind of what Abe and I do here. We're just lifelong best friends who are talking about all different types of things. I like that you haven't really just locked down on the fact that you're a baseball player. You're a baseball player, you're a podcaster, you do stocks outside of work. I mean, you have so much going on. How do you balance that in such a busy schedule?
Yeah, you know, that's just my personality, man. I'm a busybody by nature, and sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. You know, sometimes I need to sit back and remember that I'm a married man and I already live a crazy lifestyle, and I got to find some hours in there for my wife and for us to you know, be a family and have our own alone time. But I'm just, my brain's always going. And the podcast has actually been a great outlet for that. My co-host, his name is Cooper. He is not a baseball guy at all. And I get to talk about baseball constantly. So the podcast has been kind of a cool outlet for us to talk about other stuff. And like you said, we got to have Mike Evans on. We got to have CJ McCollum on. So we got to talk about football and basketball on those two. And then a lot of episodes are just me and him just kind of spitballing on current events and sports. And we've just really enjoyed it. And it's been a lot of fun. You guys would know, y'all have an awesome podcast. It's fun to just escape for an hour a week, a couple hours a week, and to prepare something and to be passionate about something and be able to articulate it to a fan base that maybe enjoys listening to your opinion. So it's just been a ton of fun. We're going to keep it going. We're going to try and put out maybe even two or three during this down period if we can, and just keep doing it.
Yeah, so you just mentioned the down period, and I think that's something to point to, especially with not really much going on in the world right now. I mean, right now you should be wrapping up spring training, getting ready for opening day. And unfortunately, with the circumstances, you are not. But baseball is in a little bit of a different situation where they never really got going on the season. So there's still hope that something's going to happen no matter when it starts or whatever. But, I mean, aside from this podcasting, this following up with the stock market and everything else you do in your free time. So you obviously you have way more free time now because since you guys have left free spring training. What has this time been like? Because you in your MLB career, you're not used to this. Nobody's used to what's going on right now. So what is this time period like around the league? Are you talking to guys? Like, are people bored? I mean, obviously you're keeping busy, but I mean, this is just the weirdest of times.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is, man. It's just really, really weird. A lot of people, I've talked to pitchers mostly, especially pitchers within the Dodgers. You know, you don't necessarily know what to do. Do I keep throwing off a mound? Do I have hitters stand in and simulate at bats? Or do I kind of pull it back to the middle of an off season where I'm just playing catch a couple days a week, getting big and strong in the weight room and not overdoing it because, you know, it looks like there may not be baseball for up to two more months. So why would you go out and throw multiple bullpens a week and wear out your arm and your body and all that kind of stuff? So it's just a very much time of unknown, and everyone's kind of dealing with it in different ways. But at the end of the day, you know, right now it's really about staying inside, staying healthy, keeping your family healthy, and doing what you can to get over this virus. And then once baseball comes back, that'll be great. I think we'll have a spring training 2.0 where we'll have plenty of time to build up. So I think it's kind of don't overdo it right now and just be ready to play once they give us the green light.
So we already put our Texas A&M Texas Longhorns beef aside. There wasn't much beef for those who are listening.
Third party question before you ask this.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a million Texas schools, big schools, Tech, A&M, UT. Are A&M and UT the biggest of rivals?
Oh,
I feel like it's really UT and Oklahoma now.
No. It's A&M and Texas by far. The reason why you might think that is recently A&M ran away to the SEC. And so now it's Texas and Oklahoma because that, you know, the Red River rivalry. But that, yeah. I mean, it is actually, I don't follow the football recruiting like my cousin does, but he is the biggest diehard. The A&M and Texas, like, message boards talking about 14-year-old kids actually is the most insane. You can't even imagine the stuff they say. The two are always talking about each other. It's still an insane rivalry, and they haven't played in, like, I don't know, 7 years now. The last game, I think, we won on a walk-off kick by Justin Tucker.
It really is wild how early that recruiting stuff starts, man. I'm really, really happy that A&M was able to move to the SEC. I know it ends what I thought, you know, was the biggest rivalry in sports because it's what I grew up watching, is the Texas A&M rivalry on Thanksgiving Day, all that stuff. But it kind of got us out of the UT shadow. You know, Texas was definitely kind of our big brother. I'm willing to admit that. They definitely probably have a winning record against us in every sport across the board over the history of our rivalry. So moving to the SEC was a big opportunity for us, and we did it at the right time. We got Johnny Manziel and Mike Evans that year and kind of put us on the map. So you're not going to hear me talk bad about Texas. I think the world is better when Texas is good at sports. I'd rather them be good than Tech and Baylor and TCU any day.
Yeah, well, don't waste your time hoping for Texas to be good at sports. But did you want to go anywhere else around Texas? Obviously, you grew up in Texas. We talked about before we recorded, you actually were born right by me in Bluebell, PA, but that was short-lived. Did you want to go anywhere else in Texas growing up, or was it always A&M?
You know, I liked UT a lot growing up. I really did. I mean, Vince Young beat USC in that, what was it, 03 or 05 championship. I mean, man, that was so cool. I remember exactly where I was when I watched that. I loved UT. It's just I have an older brother. He's 3 years older than me. And once he went to A&M, that just kind of sealed it. And, you know, I was visiting College Station to visit him, and you just kind of fall in love with the smaller town versus Austin, which is a giant town and a much different feel. And I would have been happy either way. I'm very, very glad I ended up going to A&M. I love A&M. I bleed maroon now, as they say. But basically, yeah, I was basically between UT and A&M always. Never really considered any of the others.
Gosh, well, you made the right choice.
Thanks.
It's actually crazy, Abe. We've talked to like four straight people, four elite athletes who grew up in Texas.
Oh, yeah,
like,
you just reminded me. You just reminded me. Wait, Ross, I got to
ask
this
that?
Real quick.
We talked to two kids who we're doing a draft series right now. So we talked to two guys who played at Baylor. We talked to a safety from Georgia who grew up in Texas. Like, it's just all the town in the world, apparently.
Wait, so Ross,
I heard, is it true that, sorry, I keep interrupting. Is it true that the NFL draft is canceled, or is it just the group of people is canceled? Is the actual draft canceled?
The draft will go on. I think it's the fact that the Las Vegas event, which I was honestly trying to go out there for work in quotes, that has been canceled. But I do think they're going to broadcast it on TV. I haven't heard much. It's officially a month away from the draft actually today, so TBD. But I think the draft will still go on.
Gotcha. So yeah, when I heard that, I was like, wild.
Yeah, it's wild. So as I was going to say, we've had many Texas people on recently, and I think Jack is trying to organize something. I don't know what it is, what's up his sleeve. But did you grow up because obviously Jack and I, we do a sports podcast. We talk about all different types of sports every week and kind of losing our mind over here with no sports going on. Did you grow up like a sports junkie at heart, like watching other sports, becoming a fan, or was it really just playing your own sport and going about your business?
Yeah, you know what it was for me was playing sports. Even as a kid, I never really sat down and watched nine innings of baseball or an entire football game. It was always kind of on in the background. But when you have an older brother and you have a nice backyard, you know, you're just outside playing the sport rather than inside watching it. So that's kind of how I fell in love with sports. And I played a little bit of everything. I played a ton of soccer. I went to one of those Friday Night Lights high schools in Texas where football was king. I played football, basketball, baseball. Like I said, soccer even gave lacrosse a chance for a bit. So it's, I went to tennis camp. I mean, I just tried everything under the sun.
Right.
And that's kind of how I fell in love with sports.
So what I'm getting out of this, and this is what I ask all of our guests, and nobody has said yes yet, so I haven't had to hang up the phone. But just to clarify, you did not grow up a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh, man, you're going to have to hang up the phone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I grew up
I am so sorry.
That's fair.
Well, no.
When you grow up 10 minutes from their stadium, you don't have a choice, man. And you grew up in the Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith era.
I was going to say, Ross, you were born
in Bluebell, PA.
Ross had some good memories as a Cowboys fan. It's not like he's been only living through Dak Prescott, Tony Romo days.
It's true. That's when I was a fan, is when we were good. And then you get into fantasy football, and then you just become a fan of individual players. Yeah. You know, I used to, when I was 10 years old, I could probably name 75% of the Cowboys roster. Now I can only name who's fantasy relevant. So, you know, you kind of, which is kind of the issue with the NFL in general now, is, you know, teams are kind of losing their fandom, but fantasy football is such a mega industry that you still, you know, obviously watch. Now the Jaguars Titans on Thursday Night Football means something.
Yeah.
When I was 12 years old, it didn't.
We've seen that swing in sports in general. Like, even the NBA is very, very heavy. And I enjoyed going through your social media because I think you actually understand it, where baseball is having a big problem trying to get there in terms of player development. I know they had the campaign this past offseason, like it's all about the players, but that's always been mostly a team sport, and they like to kind of contain their electric personalities. How have you kind of escaped that? I mean, I know you're a businessman and you're very creative in that sense, but you're also doing it well on social.
Yeah, you know, for whatever reason, man, baseball players just really battle to build their brands like these other sports do. You know, in the NBA, the third guy off the bench still has 200,000 followers on all social platforms versus, you know, there's probably half the country on the East Coast that doesn't even know who Mike Trout is, who's basically the LeBron James of baseball. And yeah, that comes down to personality. You know, LeBron wants to build his brand, basically took on the Lakers in Los Angeles to build that mega brand versus Trout and Kershaw and the other baseball superstars who kind of are more introverted maybe. You know, so for me, I think there's a lot of really cool baseball personalities out there. So if I can get a few of them on the podcast or even show my own personality on my socials and, you know, kind of give fans a little insight into who I am, I think that's pretty cool. And it's not something that the MLB has really been able to do very well.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can get all these MLB players with personalities on your podcast and then just funnel them down to us, you know? We'll get
yeah,
your sloppy
exactly.
seconds. But you talked about how a lot of people, like, in the world right now, they know the LeBron James is the Patrick Mahomes, and even though Mike Trout is on that level, if not more, in his respective sport of baseball, he doesn't really get the global recognition that these other superstars have because he's in baseball and because it may not be as a popular sport. Obviously, baseball is taking measures to gain more popularity. I saw Mike Trout's now on TikTok. That's pretty interesting. But what do
oh,
you
man,
think
I
that...
need to watch that.
Yeah, no, seriously. But what do you think that baseball, if in your mind, needs to do to become more in the national spotlight, at like the MLB, I mean, like the NFL, like the NBA?
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, baseball is worldwide, man. It's played in South America. It's played in Asia. I mean, it's you know, there's no NFL outside of America, mm-hmm. yet, you know, MLB seems to really struggle to get on a world platform as the NBA has. And as far as what we need to do, you know, I'm honestly not sure. We need more players like Trevor Bauer who are just obsessed with building baseball's brand and building players up and having a platform for players. I think, you know, naturally baseball players just seem to be more, I don't know, I guess I said extroverted earlier. I'll use that term again. It's just, you know, it's almost like baseball players just want to go home and be with their family and play video games. They're not, you know, big into fashion and they don't have these huge brands that they want to build. So we need more right. players that are passionate about that, I guess, if we ever think that, you know, our brand is really going to explode. I do think MLB is trying hard. I'm not saying that they're not, but it's just for whatever reason, our players just don't seem obsessed with it like players of other sports.
I love that you noted video games. I've been doing a YouTube series since the quarantine started on MLB The Show. And I think like NBA 2K is literally a part of NBA culture. Like the guys are always talking about it. They play it themselves. The same thing with Madden. The guys always comment on their own ratings. And MLB The Show just came out. And I think Pete Alonso was playing maybe and they talked about, but I don't think a lot of players maybe, and I'll give you this idea, free to use, no cost, but I think a lot of fans would love to see you guys playing yourself and like talk about going through a pitch progression. Like I'm guessing pitches. I realistically have no clue what's going to come. You guys actually do this for a living and like to get that insight would be really cool. Combine that with an entertaining personality. I think there's a lot of fun things that, you know, MLB stars can do, but we made it through like 20 minutes of a podcast and we haven't even touched on your actual baseball career, which I think is awesome. It speaks to how like well ventured you are off the field, but I do want to ask about that a little. You're an all-star pitcher, but let's go back to your first career start. Who throws 7+ innings of no hit baseball without ever pitching in the league? And then who lets their manager pull them off the mound? What's that about? I need to know.
Yeah. That is, you know, man, that's just being a young guy and not really even knowing that you had a choice in the matter. And that's basically admitting to just being absolutely exhausted. I would think I was throwing 84, 85 miles an hour, just poo balls up there. And, you know, I think the most I threw in that spring training was maybe 45, 50 pitches. I'd already been optioned out of big league spring training. And due to injuries, I get called up and make that start. And it was just, I mean, it was raining the whole time. I had all of my friends and family there. It was one of those things that was just meant to be. And it was really, really cool. Obviously, wish you get a chance to finish it off. And what's crazy is we end up losing that game of all things. But,
yeah,
you know, it was really, really special and something obviously you'll remember forever and hopefully get a chance to try and do it again sometime.
Yeah, when I was going through that stuff, I was like, wait, he pitched 7 innings with no hit baseball but recorded his first win on a different day. Like, how does that even happen?
Yeah.
And then Abe and I were recording our weekly podcast for our Monday episode last night, And we were reading through some stats, and like mind-blowing sports stats. Wayne Gretzky has more just assists than any NHL player has points. And one of the other stats was like Nolan Ryan threw 225 pitches in an appearance. So I think you were only at 100. Oh. So you could,
oh my God.
Like, how does that even happen?
Yeah, man, it's just today's era of baseball. That 100 pitch mark is just, I don't know, it's just such a pinnacle that people agree to where you just shouldn't really cross it anymore, especially in the Dodgers organization with the analytics and the stuff that we do now. It's just, you know, we believe that when you got five guys in your bullpen that throw 100 versus a fatiguing starter and maybe the heart of the lineup, why would you not bring in one of your strongest guys? And, you know, obviously we're looking at one game, which happened to be my debut, but over the course of a season, you know, it's just, you're going to use your studs in close games like that. And that kind of just, you know, piles the cards in your favor to win more games. And that's what baseball is trending towards now.
It's kind of like baseball's own version of what we're seeing in the NBA nowadays of quote unquote load management. But I'm actually curious if all of that, all the analytics and all the sports nerds are thrown out of the building, out the window and whatever, and it comes down to it, and you're pitching, let's just give it a hypothetical situation. You're in a World Series game, everything on the line, win or go home, game seven, and you're feeling yourself. Your stuff is good. You're hitting your spots. You're throwing heat. How many pitches realistically could you possibly throw in one outing where your arm, before your arm just absolutely gives out? Because it's definitely over 100.
Yeah, it's over 100. I mean, game seven, you got 4 months off staring you in the face. And right. The competitor in you comes out. And, I mean, yeah, you're probably like,
could
a little
you hit 150, 175?
Point. Yeah, I think for sure. I think you could for sure. And, you know, and some guys are built up more than others. Like, I bet Kershaw could throw 200 just because he's so mentally strong plus physically strong. And you put him in a game seven. I mean, he would go until you basically had to knock him out and drag him off the mound.
That's pretty crazy to think about. What's the drop off? So then let's say you're pitching, you're at a pitch 150. You're the last person in the pen. Like there's no one left in the pen. What's the drop off between you at pitch 150 or 175 and like your best position player? I don't know who that is on the Dodgers, but coming in to pitch. Cause whenever we see those guys come on, like Chris Davis for my Orioles, like he's throwing 64 mile per hour fastballs right down the middle, hoping no one hits it over the wall. Like what is the drop off? And at what point would you?
You know, that's funny. We had Russell Martin last year who came in and threw like five scoreless innings over the course of the year. He's throwing like 89 mile an hour fastballs. So, you know, some guys had, you know, teams have guys that pitched in college or whatnot. But I still think a big league starter at pitch 175 is exponentially better than whoever your best position player is. Because, for one, if it's a game that's meaningful, the hitter's going to be into it. Right. Versus usually when a position player's on the mound, the hitter's just like, dude, this stinks. You know, just don't strike out. That's all they're thinking. Don't strike out. Or you're going to get made fun of for a month. You know, versus if it's game seven, strategy's into it, scouting's into it. A position player won't know that kind of stuff. Won't be able to actually hit spots, change speeds. Still at pitch 175, if I'm throwing 82 miles an hour, I can still change speeds, change eye levels, change location. And that's really what matters is moving big leaguers' feet, changing their timing. That's you know, the way you get guys out.
Right. So let's not talk about any hypotheticals anymore because we live in a what have you done for me lately world. The Dodgers these past few years have been right up there. They've been on the brink of hoisting that World Series championship. Obviously have fallen short a few times. You've been on those teams throughout all these years. And, I mean, Dodgers are back at it again this year. They add another top five player in baseball in Mookie Betts. What's it going to take? What's it going to take to get over that hump and to finally lift that World Series trophy in your mind?
Yeah, great question. You know, it's kind of stay the course. Like, we're so close. I don't know what you can really do to get better. Our roster's built to be good for 200 games. I mean, we have guys in AAA that could start in basically 25 other organizations, whether that's in the field or on the mound. So it's just stay the course. We have all the experience we could possibly have as far as playoff games. So it's just, I don't know, you know, be confident. Obviously, we keep building talent around us. We had another Cy Young and another MVP to our roster, and David Price and Mookie Betts, like you said. So there's all the confidence in the world in our locker room. So it's just a matter of you know, I guess playing free and easy when those big moments come and not putting too much pressure on ourselves.
Right.
Totally. I mean, We're rooting for you once we can finally get back out there. Abe
well,
and I
well,
just
well, well. I am rooting for you, but I am also a Phillies fan, so.
Okay, well, I'm an Orioles fan, so I don't have anything to worry about.
That's tough, yeah.
I don't have much to worry about either, but I just have to state my fandom.
All right, Ross, before we get to ranked, I do have one question for you. I know you trade stocks and you do wealth management off the field. The economy is hit. I mean, it's like the Orioles right now. It'll come back up, but we're not performing at the highest level. do you have any good stock tips?
You know, right now, man, it's just don't panic in a time like this. I mean, this is the quickest we've ever fallen from an all-time high in the history of the market. And not only did we fall, we fell over 30%. And really, we're just looking for some good news. You know, everyone says, what is it, stop the curve or whatever it is. You know, we need people to start. We need to slow down the cases of the coronavirus. The Fed is doing everything they can. Basically came out today and said they're going to put infinite amount of money into the economy as long as we need it, which is unprecedented. That's never happened before. Interest rates are at zero. The government's going to try and bail out small businesses as best they can. Might have to end up bailing out airlines, restaurants, cruise ships, all sorts of stuff. So it's not a lot of good news out there right now. But in times like this, man, the best thing you can do is not panic. We're going to get an unbelievable opportunity to buy blue chip staple companies of our economy at incredibly discounted rates that we haven't seen since before Trump got in office. So it's basically clear up as much cash as you can, get it from out under your mattress, get it from in your car, wherever you got it, and just be ready to jump in once this thing kind of hits bottom and levels out a little bit, because we're going to have an unbelievable opportunity to get some real gains once this market starts going back up.
Yeah, I'm not gonna sit here and pretend I'm Jim Cramer, Mad Money, and know everything about market and everything about stocks, because frankly, I worked in finance for a year, but I don't really know much other than it is not a good time to be a stock, specifically in the equity market. But just throw me out there so I can just keep track of my own and make myself feel smart. One stock to keep a lookout on the bounce back.
Yeah, man. I wish you're probably going to have to end up cutting this segment from the podcast, because I just can't do it. As a licensed guy, as a licensed money manager, it's just not worth the risk of the lawsuit if I tell you to go buy stock XYZ and it falls to zero and you can sue me for everything.
Really?
You know,
that's
yeah,
how it works.
So it's just, yeah, too much of a liability. I can't give individual names. I've gone on Fox Business and some other platforms before where they ask me, like, just give me one name, like one name that you love. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I just can't. I'll get out of this interview and I'll have 50 emails from compliance telling me, what the heck did you just do?
All right, well, I'll answer the question for you. I'm going to throw out one stock for the Snapback fam to keep a lookout for. What stocks involve podcasts?
I live for the day where Abe is suing Ross Stripling. Like, I literally, that is the day I live for. All right, cool. Let's go to rank then. So every Thursday on the podcast, we rank something in the world. We've done cereals. We've done fast food burgers. I also do want to shout out, what is your favorite chicken strip? I don't even know if Abe knows about Cane's. I assume that's going to be up there. But
I don't.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Cane's is good. Cane's and Lane's and College Station are definitely good. They're a big rivalry. I always say Chick-fil-A. In Arizona, I always love going to Arizona because they have spicy chicken strips. I think they're maybe only in Arizona, and they are phenomenal if you get a chance to try them.
A chicken strip for me is like pizza. Like, yeah, you can have good chicken strips and bad chicken strips, but at the end of the day, a bad chicken strip, it's still a chicken strip. You're going to eat it. You know what I mean? Like, a bad piece of pizza is still pizza. That's
exactly.
My 2 cents on the chicken strip conversation.
Thank you for that, Abe. All right, let's rank some things. So on this episode of Ranked, we are going to rank the top three worst fantasy football people. So I'll kick it off. We'll go to Abe, and then Ross will snake it around.
Top three?
Top three. All right, my number three is the auto draft guy. If you're going to be in a fantasy football league, don't just not show up for the draft. It's not that difficult. Put it on your schedule and be there for the draft, because not only are you Well, sometimes those teams actually turn out to be well, but then you lose interest in your team because you didn't pick them. And then 9 times out of 10, you actually take good players that I would have stolen off the board. So don't be the worst guy. That's literally the worst, is like you have a guy, you know the guy right before you doesn't need the tight end on the board, but the guy
but you
two
do.
Picks ahead is auto draft, and it just automatically takes like George Kittle off the board. Like that is the worst.
You should get a 3-year like ban if you're that. If you don't show up to the draft and you're in like a serious league, but
and that's only number 3. So I'm curious what else we got, Abe.
My number 3. I have a bunch right in front of me. I'm gonna go with the guy, the untradeable guy in your league, the guy who overvalues every player on his team. He wants the farm and then some for a RB2, RB3 flex position. And don't get me wrong. Let me preface this entire segment by saying I have probably fallen guilty to all three of my worst fantasy football players at some point in my fantasy football career. So I'm not going to say that I haven't overvalued my team, because obviously when I draft my team, I feel as if it's the best, whether it is or it isn't. But the guy who is impossible to trade with, who just says, are you kidding me, feels disrespected by these trade when they're legitimate trade options and you just can't trade with him. He thinks his team is the best, and then he ends up as a 5 seed and he loses in the first round.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm guilty of that too. Like I drafted Will Fuller last year, who can't stay on the field, but I still won't trade him because I drafted him. I love him. He's a Houston guy, and he can win you a league or win you a week if he's on the field, but I still won't trade him.
All right, so we're coming to you for number 3.
Yeah, so as while I'm listening to you guys go through yours, I'm thinking of mine. As a commissioner of a couple leagues, guy that I hate is the guy that can't remember his login every year or multiple times a year. He's like, hey, what email did I use? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, can you reset my password? I was like, no, that's on your end, you know. And then like 5 minutes before the draft, he's like, hey, what's my login? You know, that's the guy I don't like.
Okay.
I feel like the commissioner, I'm not the commissioner in my league for obvious reasons, because you have to deal with bullshit like that. But I feel like the commissioner in a league deals with way different problems than everyone else. Just probably the most annoying, like, yo, I didn't mean to pick up him and drop him. Can you switch it? Stuff like that. Just the little stuff that would get under your skin. It's like, dude, like, figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
All right, Ross, we're snaking it, so give us number 2 if you have it.
Okay, yeah. How about the guy that complains about the scoring system before it's updated, you know, or just the scoring system in general? That's like, since when are we doing PPR? Or since when do you get 4 points for a 40-yard field goal? It's like, dude, we've been in this league for 6 years. I'm sorry you lost by 1 point because your dude hit a 40-yarder instead of a 39-yarder, but – you know, that's what we've always done.
Okay.
Number 2, and it kind of goes hand in hand with Jack's number 3. I was going to mention this because it's a little bit synonymous, but just the lazy guy in general. The guy when you're in a very serious league, everyone takes it seriously. They check it on a weekly basis, and this guy week after week is starting somebody on a bye. I get it. It gets you the win. That's awesome. But that takes all the fun out of fantasy football. You literally only have to check your team for about 10 minutes on a weekly basis. You have no excuse to be starting somebody on a bye.
I agree. I think punishments, I actually haven't really ever played in a league with punishments. I know that's a big thing Abe does. Do you do any punishment leagues, Ross?
We've thought about it forever, and we've just never come up with one and stuck with it. But
I do think that eliminates what you're talking about a little, Abe, which is that can be helpful, because when you can penalize the guy and last, at least they're not going to. If it gets to week 12 and they're 5-7 and they're out of the playoffs but out of protecting last place, maybe not so much. Right. But overall, it keeps it more entertaining. All right, my number 2 is also kind of riffing off of Abe's. I'm taking the counter side, though. It's the unfair trade offer guy. The guy who thinks his guys are so valuable. Like, I had one time, last offseason, so it was before this season, I had someone tell me that Davante Adams wasn't consistent as he was trying to trade me Kyle Rudolph. And Devontae, I was like, I know Devontae's been a top 3 fantasy wide receiver for the past 3 years, so I'm just confused. And I went to check, like, maybe he'd missed games. He had played in 15 of 16 games in all 3 seasons. He had caught 8+ touchdowns and 1,000 yards in all those seasons. And I was like, where do you even come up with this stuff? And then it's just like I get a notification from my cousin who is the worst at this. Like, he offers the absolute worst trades and just tries to talk himself into them, and you just can't get anywhere with them. So I hate the unfair trade guy.
That's a good one.
No, there's definitely that aspect to it, and I've probably fallen guilty of that too. But half of that is sometimes just messing with people.
Yeah.
But my
true.
Number.
Hold on, let me go number one. Let me number
oh,
one.
Oh, you're on number one.
We're snaking. All right, this one.
Don't take mine.
This one, I recently like really got into this person this year. But it's the guy with 9 fantasy teams who cheers for every touchdown on NFL Red Zone.
I got that guy in another league.
Right. If you have 9 9 teams and you have every player across the league and you're cheering, like you're actually cheering when a guy scores a touchdown, then I get it. It's a nice dopamine hit in theory, but you just can't do that. It makes it no fun. Like, lock down your team. 1, 2, or 3 teams max would be my opinion. But don't just cheer every time someone scores a touchdown.
Yeah,
that's
I was going to say that. I think the most manageable, I think the consensus is I only really, really like having 2 teams every year because I feel like I can actually personally put effort into both. I'm okay with a third. I'm not going to be thrilled about it, but any more than 3 and you just got to – you're rooting for 6 people on the field every game.
And against you. That's the worst part is like this guy will be like, yes, celebrate the touchdown. And then he's like, oh, damn, I'm actually playing him. Like, no shit, dude.
Yeah, that's like the guy on Monday Night Football that's like, well, I need Christian McCaffrey to score no more than 20, but get at least more than 12 because I have him in another league. But I also can't have the defense get more than 5 because then I lose another league. You're like, dude, whatever.
Right.
My number one most hated fantasy football player is the guy – this is pretty much goes to everything in life – the guy that does too much. The guy who is always in your face. You're not even talking about fantasy football. You're out to dinner. You're just having a good time. Yo, check my team. Dude,
check my team, guy.
Let me give you a piece of advice. And this is myself too. Nobody cares about your fantasy football team. You don't care about mine. I don't care about yours. We could be in the same league. This guy who I'm talking about considers himself the Matthew Berry of your league, criticizing everybody's move in each league while he's sitting at a barely above 500 winning percentage. He's talking to you about your matchups, worrying about your matchup, worrying about his team. He's up at 12:01 on a Tuesday night working the waiver wire. The guy that does too much.
Hey, so you guys cut out like 20 seconds on me there.
All right.
So pretty much I hate the guy that does too much. The guy who's in the waiver wire, talking about your team, talking about his team. Just play
it was
your
honestly,
game
it was one of Abe's better rants. It was one of Abe's
I'm sorry I missed the tail end of it. I caught the beginning of it and just thinking of like the guy Monday morning that comes to your cubicle and just runs down his whole Sunday to you. And you're like, dude, I just don't need this right now.
Dude, I haven't even put my lunch in the fridge yet. I don't care about what you need on Monday night tonight.
Give us your number one.
Yeah, it would definitely be the trade guy that you mentioned, but I'll try and come up with one that you guys haven't said yet. It for me, and I just kind of keep going off the commissioner, is the guy that you just have to absolutely hound to get the money.
Yes, I have that on my list. Oh my
God. Just like
the guy that's even worse, and you might be a better commissioner, but we've had this problem because we just have – I play in a league that's pretty casual. It's just college friends, and it's like – hey, we're going to Venmo the winner money when it's done. Like, we don't need to collect, just be good for it. It's like 20 or 50 bucks, like nothing crazy. And then they don't like the guy who wins or something happens and they get put on auto draft or like something happens and they're just like, I'm not paying him. Like, that guy is the absolute woke.
Yeah, I don't like that guy. I don't like having to chase you down for 50 bucks. Yeah. It's just, that guy, not my favorite.
Honorable mention that just came to mind.
Yeah.
Just that one, like, outsider in your league. Like, you have 11 friends. You need one more to fill it. And someone's, like, brother's, cousin's, dog's friend fills your league. You don't know who he is. He doesn't know who you are. But just,
I don't hate that guy unless
he wins the league.
And then he wins the league.
I don't hate that guy unless he picks up, like, one of the things we just mentioned. Like, if he becomes the unfair trade guy, then he bothers me. But sometimes it's nice to have some outside influence. Keeps things honest.
I don't like the silent guy, right? Like the guy that drafts and then you just don't hear from for 14
he just plays weeks. He plays his own draft picks, doesn't make any moves. He just like goes along.
Yeah, you got to bring something to the table. Yeah, some smack talk on Tuesday morning, something.
Yeah, and I feel like that outsider guy, the guy that I'm referring to, that guy that nobody really knows, he kind of falls into the quiet guy role. And as you suspect, you're in a league, you don't know the level of trash talk that this group of guys or girls do on a given year. But just like, I don't know, I'd rather cut one of my friends from the league and deal with him complaining for a few months than add a 12th where it's just like, I don't know this guy. I want to talk trash to everyone in the league, and now I feel like a dick because I don't really know this guy, and I'm telling him I'm going to beat him by 40 and ruin everything he's worked for all year.
And he doesn't care.
And he doesn't care.
And he's and now you're the guy that is
doing now I'm the asshole.
All right, Ross, well, thank you for stopping by, joining us. Make sure to check out Ross's podcast, Big Swing Podcast. Also, make sure to check out Abe and I, because I think we're going to go to L.A. at some point this summer. We'll be in those new home run seats. Got to check those out at Dodger Stadium. We will bring you some chicken strips and barbecue sauce, and be good.
Awesome, guys. This was a lot of fun. Thank y'all so much for having me, and I'll look out for you guys in L.A.
Awesome.
Ross, best of luck this year. Hopefully the MLB season gets going soon, for honestly just my personal sanity. No other reason.
Nothing to do with his job.
Yeah. But seriously, thanks for taking the time. Best of luck this year.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ross.